You may ask yourself, how did I get here? Well, was it chance? Was it fate? Series of random events? It was all in the stars. God has a plan. He provides for his people. And we can look at this passage and we can see how God is preparing a whole line of kings from whom Christ, the King of Kings, will eventually be born. And we can also see how God is working in Saul's life. You can see it's quite a special way, and yet it's also through the ordinary. This was possibly a very frustrating day for Saul and his servant. And so we can see through this passage how God is at work in different ways. First of all, God is at work through our parentage. Each of us have a history, a family background that has brought us to where we are today. We may not always think about our family tree, but God has placed us in our family for one reason. And he's using us and our circumstances to bring about his purposes for our lives. We know that Saul's father, Kish, verse 1, was a man of standing in the community. It becomes clear from the passage that Saul's family was wealthy. They owned donkeys and servants. We know that Saul's father was an important person in their community. Saul came from the tribe of Benjamin. Benjamin was the smallest of the tribes. It bordered Judah, and it was located right between the northern and the southern tribes. And we see from verse 2 that Saul has inherited some useful genes. He's very tall, he's very handsome. We also find that God is at work in preventions and problems. We read that the family's donkeys are lost, verse 3. And Saul is sent on a wild goose chase, or perhaps it should be a wild donkey chase. The donkeys could not be found. Clearly, we do suffer from interruptions and setbacks in our lives. But let us know that God is at work in those interruptions and those setbacks. Saul thought he was just looking for donkeys, but God's guiding hand was at work in his life. God is also at work in the people that God has placed around us. Saul is ready to give up, verse 5, and he wants to go back. But his servants suggest, verse 6, that they go and visit a man of God, a seer, who lives in a town nearby. Saul makes a point that, well, they don't have anything to give the seer, verse 7. And once again, the servant has a solution, verse 8. He's got some money stashed away, which they can use as a payment. The servant comes up with the goods. He comes up with some answers. He makes a right suggestion and has the necessary means for the journey to carry on, just as God has planned. Let's think about the people that God has placed in our lives. And let's be assured that God is at work and he can use the people that God has placed around us. And God is also at work in the programming of events. As they're on the way to the town, they just happen to meet some girls who are coming out to draw water at that exact time. They ask the girls about the seer, and the girls, verse 12, are able to give them exact instructions about how to find him. It also turns out that the seer has only just arrived back in the town. Saul and his servant have been out looking for donkeys for 3 days, and yet the timing is perfect. If they had arrived 1 day early, it would have been too soon. If they had arrived 1 day later, it would have been too late. As it is, they're exactly there at the right time to meet the seer, who just happens to be Samuel, who just happens to walk up to them at that very exact time that they enter the town. And not only that, but they're also right on time for a special feast that they knew nothing about. Sometimes life can be very frustrating, but let's know that God is at work in the timing of events in our life. Our timing may be off, but God's timing is always perfect. So much of life seems ordinary and down to earth, and of course it is. But that's okay, because God is at work even in the ordinary details of our life. Just like Saul out looking for donkeys, we may not always see it, but God's guiding hand is there all the time. The passage also tells us 3 very important things about God's plan for our lives. So firstly, God's plan precedes our present circumstances. We indeed may think, how did I get here? But verse 15 makes it clear that before Saul ever got to that town, God had already revealed to Samuel what to do. God's plan precedes our present circumstances, and we can trust him to lead us to the next stage in our lives. God's plan is also profound. God told Samuel that he was sending him a man to anoint as king over Israel. Saul thought he was just out looking for donkeys, but God had much bigger plans. God was preparing a king for Israel, an answer to their crying out. And 3 times in verse 16, God emphasizes my people. God's plan included the whole nation of Israel and their deliverance from the Philistines. Neither Saul nor his servant nor the girls at the well knew anything about all this, but God was building a kingdom. God's plan is bigger than any of us. And God's plan is practically perfect. When Samuel saw Saul, verse 17, God told him, this is the man. God had told him what he needed to know when he needed to know it. And God will do the same for us. We can take comfort in knowing that God will tell us what we need to know when we need to know it. Sometimes we don't always understand God's plan for us, and that's okay. We don't have the foresight that God does. God sees the whole picture. We only see a part. God is working out his plan, and one day we will all know how it all comes together. He is in control of all things, and he's working out his purposes in our lives. Saul had come to Samuel to ask him about donkeys. But before Saul can even say a word, verse 20, Samuel tells him the donkeys are found and invites him to a feast. And Samuel tells Saul, in the morning I will let you go and I will tell you all that is in your heart. We're not actually told what was in Saul's heart, but God knew it, and God confirmed that he knew it through Samuel. And God knows our plans too. He knows what's in our hearts. Some of it is good and lines up with God's will. Some of it is not so good and needs to be laid aside. But Samuel goes on to tell Saul, verse 20, and to whom is all the desire of Israel turned, if not to you and all your father's family? What a big statement. And Saul's not quite ready for that. And he protests, but I'm from Benjamin. We're a tiny tribe. And my clan is the smallest in Benjamin. Saul must have been thinking, what on earth is happening? How have I ended up here? But Saul is given the seat of honor at the feast. And verse 23, he's given a special portion of food that has been set aside especially for him. As it turns out, the whole feast was actually called in his honor. Saul had been chosen by God. He was to be set apart for God's purposes. And the next morning, verse 25, he and Samuel talked together, presumably, about all that this might mean. And then in chapter 10, verse 1, Samuel anoints Saul with oil. But he makes it clear that it is the Lord who is anointing Saul as leader over Israel. Saul has been set aside by God for a particular work of service. And it may be that Saul was still in shock, but the passage makes it clear that when God calls, he confirms. And he reassures Saul by providing, in verses 2 to 6, three signs to assure him of his anointing. Each sign is a very specific sign. Who will Saul meet? Where will he meet them? And what will happen when he does? Each sign increases in intensity and number, and each would have been a reminder to Saul of his visit with Samuel. The two men at Zelzah tell him that the donkeys have been found, a reminder to Saul that he was looking for donkeys when God called him to be king. The three men at Tabor give him loaves of bread intended for the priest, a reminder to Saul of the feast held in his honor. And finally, when Saul meets a procession of prophets, the Spirit will come upon him in power. This is a reminder of the anointing with oil that was a symbol of the Holy Spirit who empowers Saul to serve God. Verse 7, once these signs are fulfilled, do whatever you find. Do whatever your hand finds to do, for God is with you. God will help Saul to serve him by sending his Spirit upon him. And when that happens, Saul will be a new person. Verse 6. And then with the Spirit leading him, he would be able to do the things that God would ask of him. Well, it's the same with us today. When we put our faith in Christ, we also become new people through the power of the Holy Spirit. And then God equips us. He gives us gifts for his service through the Spirit so that we can serve effectively. In 1 Peter we read, if anyone serves, he should do it with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. And then in Jeremiah, for I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. So let us not be discouraged by life. Let's not get frustrated by all those interruptions and setbacks. Christ died for us to make us his very own. We may feel that we're on a wild goose chase or a wild donkey chase, but God is building a kingdom. And we never know how God is using our lives and actions for his glory. God is at work in the ordinary details of our lives. So let us make our goal to serve and glorify God, whatever the circumstances. Amen. And Father, we recognize that you are in control, that you know best, that you want the best for us. But we also know there are difficulties that we will face. Lord, we just pray that we will always trust in you and know that you are doing what's right for us at that time, in that place. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.